So as I pointed out, I've been like double recording Babylon Talmud on the like my normal mic, but also just like I have my phone on standby for a backup recording if I need it. And it's funny, I'm just like literally recording it just like on my phone like recorder. It must be using some like transcript tool or something. Last two recordings ago was they named Cow, and this past recording that I just did a few minutes ago from yesterday's stuff, they called Vessel. I guess they were able to pull that information out of what I've been talking about. Not bad, actually. I did not name it those things. It was just paying attention to what was recorded and decided that Cow and Vessel would be appropriate. Makes sense. I wonder what they're gonna call this one. Anywho, Chevit, let me tell you what it's about. How you doing there? Welcome back to Babylon Talmud. Today we stand Daf Lamed Ches, Daf 38. We start with Masiyah. Friends. Let me tell you something about today's Daf. I'm only gonna record half of it, and I don't think I'm gonna record what I'm thinking to do. Is like stop kind of about five lines in to Lamed Ches Amud Beis. And then for tomorrow, for Lamed Tes, oh boy, we're going to do half of Lamed Ches and all of Lamed Tes and some of Mem. Dude, oh my God, tomorrow's daf is going to be so big. But I think that's what I'm going to do. I think that's what I'm going to do because it's kind of new subject matter over there, I think. I mean, I haven't learned it yet, honestly, but well, that's probably the main reason why I'm doing it like that. But like instead of like kind of recording this daf in two goes, I think I'm just gonna record this daf in one go but end about halfway through. And tomorrow's gonna be a daf and a half. And it's probably gonna be ridiculously long if I had to guess. But now about today's daf, it's awesome. I mean it's above Matzias stuff, but it's great. It's really geschmack. I just recorded, Imamish just finished recording yesterday's daf, which took a lot of koiches. This one's also going to take a lot of koiches. But, okay, let's see what I got. But it's going to be great. It's going to be really, really great. All right, here we go. Says the Mishnah, Mafkid is going to be great. HaMafkid Peiris Eitzel Chaveiro Afilu Ein Avudin Lo Yiga Boin Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer Mochron Bifnei Bezim Epnei Shu K'mish Vavei De Levailim. This is great stuff. Shimon deposits fruit by Reuven. Okay? Now, fruit, of course, is perishable. So, Mafkid Peiris Eitzel Chaveiro. So, Shimon deposits fruits with Reuven. Afilu Ein Avudin, even if they are going bad, even if the fruits are kind of spoiling, deteriorating, Lo Yiga Boen. Reuven shall not touch them. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer Mochrim b'fnei Bezdin. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says he could sell them before Bezdin b'pnei shu k'meishiv aved l'vaylim because he's basically salvaging them. He's returning a lost art, right? The fruits are getting lost. They're going to deteriorate. They're gonna rot. There's going to be nothing left. So therefore, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, let Reuven sell it in front of Bezdin, and that way at least he can give Shimon the value, otherwise it's all going to get rotten. He's going to be able to give him nothing. So the Tanakhama says, Reuven shall not touch it. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, he could sell them in order to salvage them. Says the Gemara, my time, how come the Tanakhama says, don't touch him? So we have Machlekes of Kahana and Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok. Omer of Kehana, this is Givaldig, Adam Rotze Bekab Shalomi Tishakabim Shalchavero. Rav Kehana says it's because a person would prefer one kab of his own stuff that he worked for, that he earned, that is his, than nine kab of somebody else's stuff that he didn't work for, that belonged, right, that came from somebody else. Therefore, if Shimon deposits nine kabs of fruit with Reuven, and it's deteriorating. I mean, as long as when Reuven gets back, he'll be able to wait, what? Sorry, one second, but no, I gotta rub my nose. Sorry, Mom. Shimon deposited, you know, if Shimon deposits 9 kav, oh my God, you're driving me crazy. I think I need to get a new nose. Okay. So Shimon deposits, if Shimon deposits 9 kav of fruit with Reuven, even if when Shimon comes to retrieve them, 8 of them have gone bad, and there's 1 kav left, but it's 1 kav of his fruit that he grew, that he picked, he'd prefer that over Reuven selling them and giving him 9 kav of somebody else's fruit. So therefore, that's why the Tanakhama says don't touch them. Reuven would you know, even if 8 of his 9 kavs go bad, Reuven would still, Shimon would still prefer to have that, you know, that 1 kav that he himself earned. For if Nachman by Yitzchok, Omar, sorry if I messed up Reuven and Shimon. Shimon's the depositor, Shimon's the owner of the fruits, Reuven is the custodian. Rav Nachman by Yitzchok Omar, Rav Nachman by Yitzchok says that the reason why the Tanakhama says that Reuven should not touch the fruits is because Chai Shinon Shema Aso and Amafkid Trume Umaiser Al Mokum Acher. We're concerned that Shimon, the owner of the fruits, has made them into Trumas and Maisers. Maybe Shimon had some other fruits that were Tevel. And he says, all right, I have to separate Trumas and Maisers. You know what? I'm not going to separate it from this fruit. I have fruit that Reuven is watching for me. I'll make that fruit Trumas and Maisers, and I'll eat all of this fruit. So Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok says that Reuven cannot sell the fruits out of a concern that what if Shimon had made them Trumas and Maisers, will be selling Trumas and Maisers, and whoever buys them will be eating Truma, and that's a problem. So that is why Reuven can't touch them, because we're concerned that maybe they're Truma. And he can't sell Truma to random people. Okay. Sorry if I'm messing up Reuven's and Shimon's and stuff. As I said, I just recorded my the previous daf. So, and my previous daf required a lot of koiches, and this daf requires a lot of koiches. And my brain is mush, but you know what we do at Babylon Talmud? When the brain is mush, we push. So pushing through the mush. Sometimes when you push through the mush, you mix up Reuven and Shimon. So my apologies in advance. I mean, it's a problem to mix up Reuven and Shimon, because how are you supposed to follow? But hopefully I won't mess up Reuven and Shimon, but just in case, be aware that this could happen. So we see this beautiful machlokes between Rav Kahana and Rav Nachman by Yitzchok. Meisve, we have a kasha from a brisa that says, Hamafkid peris etzel chavero. So Shimon deposits fruits by Reuven. Hareze lo yigaboen. Reuven shall not touch them. And therefore, because Reuven shall not touch them, lefichach balabais also os and chumo meiser. And because Reuven is not going to touch them, Shimon can make them into Truma and Miser. Right? Because if Reuven sells them, then Shimon cannot make them into Trumas and Misers, because he doesn't, right, they've been sold. And then that means that, you know, if Shimon is in some other place and he's got a bunch of fruits and he says, oh, you know what, I'm going to use the fruits that I have by Reuven as Truma and Miser, and I'm going to eat these fruits. Well, if Reuven had already sold them, then he can't make them Trumas and Misers anymore. And he's going to end up eating that fruit, but it's going to be Tevel, because the Truma and Miser never work. So therefore, so the Bryce is saying that Reuven is not allowed to sell the fruits that Shimon has deposited with him. And because Reuven is not allowed to sell these fruits, Shimon can therefore use them for Trumas and Maisers, knowing that Reuven didn't sell them. Okay. So now, Bishlomo de Rav Kahana, this is Gevaldig, according to Rav Kahana. Hanu dikatani lefichach. Meaning, the Mishnah is saying two separate things. The Brice is saying two separate things. Thing number one is Reuven is not allowed to sell them for some reason. And thing number two is that because of the reason why Reuven is not allowed to sell them, Shimon can now separate them as Trumas and Maisers. So meaning it sounds like those are two separate things. That because of this reason, therefore Shimon knows that because of that reason, Reuven isn't selling the fruits, and therefore Shimon can use them for Trumas and Maaseres, resting assured that they won't be sold. So now, according to Rav Kahana, what's the reason? Okay, the reason is Reuven can't sell them because of the Rosa Betisha Kav and Shelo, Bekav Shelo, Yosu Betisha Shachavero. That because of that reason, Reuven's not allowed to sell them. And therefore, Shimon, knowing that Reuven isn't selling them because of this reason, Shimon can use them for Meiser, for Trumas and Meisers. But according to Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak says that the reason why Reuven is not setting them aside, is not selling them, is because maybe Shimon made them into Trumas and Meisers. But no, that's backwards. The Bryce is saying that Shimon can separate them as Trumas and Meisers only because he knows that Reuven hasn't sold them. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak is assuming that Shimon has already separated them as Trumas and Meisers, and therefore Reuven can't sell them. But that's backwards. The whole point is that Shimon is only separating them as Trumas and Meisers because he knows that Reuven didn't sell them. Not that Reuven can't sell them because Shimon may have already made them Trumas and Meisers. It's a little bit technical, but you get it? Meaning, according to Rav Kahana, Reuven can't sell the fruits because of Rotza Adam, or the Motza Bekav Shelo Yosef Ritisha Shachavero, and therefore, because he's not selling it for that reason, that is why Shimon can separate Trumas and Meisers, because he knows that they haven't been sold. According to Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Reuven can't sell them because maybe Shimon already separated them as Trumas and Meisers. But I thought it's the other way around. Shimon is only separating them as Trumas and Meisers because he knows that Reuven hasn't yet sold them. So Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, my lefichach, what's pshat with the lefichach? It's backwards. Hachi ka'amar, no, but you could still make it make sense. Hashto to omer rabbonon lo nizabed dechashinon. Look, once already the rabbis say that Reuven shall not sell the fruits out of concern that maybe Shimon has already separated them as Trumas and Meisers. So because we know that therefore Reuven won't be selling the fruits, well then certainly Shimon can separate them, use them for Trumas and Meisers, knowing, resting assured, that Reuven hasn't sold them because Reuven won't sell them because he's concerned that maybe Shimon already separated them as Trumas and Meisers, so therefore Shimon knows that Reuven won't be selling them, so therefore he can make them Trumas and Meisers. Lefichach ba'al ba'is also osin Trumas and Meisers ha'mokom acher. Therefore Shimon can make them to Trumas and Meisers. Wow. Okay. Shtickle loopy, loop de loop over there, but okay. But both Rav Kahana and Rav Shim and Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak seem to have survived that challenge from the Bryce. Okay. Let me go shtickle fight until I pause the video. Okay, fine. This stuff is so geschmack, but yeah, you can turn your brain shtickle mush. Okay, Omar Rabba Bar Bar Chane, Omar Rib Yechanon. Says Rav Babachan Zim Vabyechno. Machloikes Bichdei Chesronon. Aval Yosu Michdei Chesronon Divyakol Mochron Bibezdin. Givaldig. So Rav Yochan, Rav Babachan says name Rav Yochan. That this machlokas between the Tanakama and Rav Shimon Gamliel, the Tanakama says don't sell them, Rav Shimon Gamliel says do sell them. This machlokas is only if they are rotting sort of in an expected way. Shimon obviously expects that he's leaving perishable items with Reuven. Of course he expects that when he comes back to get them, some of them will have gone bad. I mean, they're perishable. Right? That's just the way it goes. Right? There's an expectation that some of them are going to go bad. So when there's this machlokas, the Tanakhama says don't touch them, that so long as they're spoiling in a kind of expected, at an expected rate, in an expected way. However, if they were mamish, just like just going downhill, and they were just ridiculously spoiling. Well, then quickly sell them, you know, while there's still something left. Everyone would, right? So according to Rabbi Yochanan, at that point, everybody would agree, sell them. So now here's the thing. This is definitely a problem for Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. So according to Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, who says that the reason why the Tanna Kamma says don't sell them is because, well, what if Shimon made them Trumas and Maisvis? If Shimon made them Trumas and Maisvis, how can you sell them to somebody else? So I don't care how fast they're spoiling, you can't sell them to somebody else. So this is definitely going to be problematic for Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak's rationale. I don't care how fast they're deteriorating, you can't sell something that Shimon may have already made Trumas and Maisvis to somebody else. The question is this going to be a problem for Rav Kahana? Because on the one hand, Rav Kahana had said, meaning according to Rav Kahana, even if Shimon would have deposited 9 kavs of fruit with Reuven, and 8 of them rotted, and 8 out of 9 is certainly extremely significant, right? Certainly, Rabbi Yochanan would say that if 8 out of 9 kav of fruit are rotting, everyone would agree to sell it. And yet, Rav Kahana is saying, no, a person wants 1 kav of his own more so than 9 even of somebody else's, even if 8 of them rotted, if he has his 1, he's happy. So in that sense, it seems like Rav Kahana and Rabbi Yochanan would not agree. Alternatively, you could say that, look, it's just a phrase, right? Meaning, don't sell them because a person would rather have his own stuff. Now, of course, Rav Kahana would, meaning it's not saying literally like an equation 8 to 9. It's saying a person prefers what he worked for more so than somebody else's stuff. But within reason. You know, certainly, yeah, if it's rotting at a significant rate, certainly Rav Kahana would agree with Rabbi Yochanan that you should sell it. So according to Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Rabbi Yochanan's position is definitely a problem. Because I don't care how fast it's rotting, you can't sell something that could potentially be truma to somebody else. According to Rav Kahana, maybe you would agree with Rabbi Yochanan, though, that if it's rotting at a significant rate, sell it. So again, for the beginning, Amar Rabbi Bar Chanan, Rabbi Yechanan, Machlekes Bichdei Chesson. The Machlokes between the Tanna Kamma and Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, where the Tanna Kamma says, don't touch it, that's only so long as the produce is rotting, the fruits are rotting at a sort of expected rate. Aval Yosef Bichdei Chesson, but if they are rotting too significantly, so then Divrei Akol Mochrim Bebezdin, everybody agrees, sell them. Everybody agrees, sell them in Bezdin. Well, this is crazy. We're basically at 20 minutes already in the daf. I'm like 10 lines. Wow, this is ridiculous. I'm only doing half the daf today, and it's going to take a while. Can't imagine. And Amud Beis is like way bigger than Amud Aleph. Even if I would have done the whole daf today, it would probably be a huge daf. I have a feeling tomorrow is going to be humongous. It is very geschmack though. Ad Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Vadai Pligo. Okay, so certainly, as I said, Rabbi Yochanan is going to be a problem for Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, because I don't care what rate it's rotting. If Shimon made them Trumas and Maisvis, you can't sell them to somebody else. Adav Kahana Milema Pliga. But how do you know that it could be that Rav Kahana would agree with Rav Yochanan? Kikom Rav Kahana Bichtei Chesronon Ko'omar. That when Rav Kahana says that Tanna Kamma would say not to touch them, that's only so long as they're rotting within sort of a normal rate. V'arotu Bekav Shel Mitisho Kavin Shel Chavero Ko'omar. But didn't Rav Kahana say that even if 1 out of 9 kavs remains, Shimon would prefer that? And that is clearly something that would be considered extremely significant rotage that Rabbi Yochanan would say to sell, and it sounds like Rav Kahana would say to keep. Guzmi ba'alma. No, Rav Kahana was sort of exaggerating. The point he was making is that a person would prefer his stuff over somebody else's, but he would also prefer you know, his stuff. If there's going to be significant rottage, you know, then he could potentially agree with Rabbi Yochanan that it should be sold. Meisve, now we have a kasha on Rabbi Yochanan. Now we have a kasha on Rabbi Yochanan. The fichach balabayis osa osan trume umaiser al makom acher. Interesting. So according to Rabbi Yochanan is saying is that if it's rotting at a significant rate, so then sell it. But one second, we said that Shimon is allowed to make the fruits trumas and maestris, knowing that Reuven did not sell it. But if Rabbi Yochanan is saying that, well, if it's rotting at a significant rate, Reuven can sell it, so then how can Shimon be setting it aside as trumas and maestris? Maybe it was in fact sold. Maybe it was rotting, and therefore Reuven sold it. And that would be pretty bad, because then the trumas and maestris have not actually been separated, and Shimon would end up eating, would be eating tefil. So again, meisve the fichach balabai is osa and trume umaisu amalkum acher, that Shimon's allowed to use these fruits that he deposited with Reuven. He can use them as trumas and maestris, but v'leichus dilma havlu yosu michtei chesronon. But how can Shimon use them as trumas and maestris? He should have to be concerned that maybe he doesn't know what's happening with the fruits. What if they're rotting at a significant rate, and that therefore Reuven was forced to sell them, and therefore he can't actually be setting them as trumas and maestris? Vizab ninu, and Reuven sold them. Vika ochil tvalim yos tvalim, and Shimon therefore would think that he's eating tithed fruits, because he separated them on the fruits that he has deposited with Reuven, but little to him, right, but unbeknownst to him, Reuven had sold them because they were rotting, and Shimon's now eating tevel. So, and for the Gemara, look, Yosim Mechdei Chesrona Lo Shchiach. Look, it's not common that the fruit would rot significantly, and that Reuven would be forced to sell it, and because it's not common, Shimon, it's not something that we're concerned about with Shimon. When we say that Shimon can use the fruits as trumas and maestris because Reuven isn't going to be selling them, he can assume that Reuven is not going to be selling them. It's pretty rare that it would be rotting at that rate that he would have to sell them, and therefore Reuven can go for it. Shimon can go for it. He can use them as trumas and maestris. The imish takhe my mizamninanu. And let's say, okay, and let's say it does happen that they rotted. Let's say it does happen that they rotted. And now Reuven's going to sell them because they're rotten. They're rotting too much. Reuven's going to sell them. Now we said that Shimon is allowed to make the produce, right? He's allowed to make the fruits trumas and maestris because Shimon can assume that they haven't rotted, and therefore he separate, and that they haven't been sold, therefore, and therefore Shimon can separate them as trumas and maestris. So now, shouldn't we have to be concerned that Shimon made them trumas and maestris, and therefore how can we sell them at that point, right? Meaning, we said that if they're rotting at a significant rate, then Reuven can sell them. But at the same time, we said that Shimon can make them trumas and maestris because he knows that Reuven won't be selling them. Well, in the event that Reuven does have to sell them, shouldn't we be concerned that Shimon made them trumas and maestris? How can he sell them? That was Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak's whole point, that the reason why he can't sell them is because maybe they're trumas and maestris. So, right, so in the event that they do rot significantly, and Reuven now wants to sell them, but my mizabninu, what can he sell them? Shema son balabais truma maestri al mokum acher. But shouldn't we now be concerned that maybe Shimon made them trumas and maestris? Hokim zabnina namin lekanim b'dmei trumas zabnina lu. Yeah, that's correct. We do have to be concerned that maybe Shimon made them trumas and maestris. And therefore, you know who we're selling them to? Kohanim, people who are allowed to eat truma. And we sell it for the Kohanim rate, right? Because truma isn't in very high demand because most people can't eat it. So there isn't such a high demand for it. So it's not sold for very much money. Okay, fine. So in that case, yeah, when you sell, you dafka sell to people who can eat it. So frekti gemara, wait. But if that's the case, then why don't we say the same thing by Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok? Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok's whole thing was that the reason why the Tanakhama says that you can't sell the fruits is because maybe Shimon made them Truma Semaisus. Therefore, according to Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok, that's why the Tanakhama says you can't sell them at all. But why not sell them to Kohanim? Why can't you sell them to Kohanim? What's the problem with that? Why can't you sell them to Kohanim? That's the question. So, beha plige. So, look, here's the thing. There is a difference between Rabbi Bar Chana and Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok differ on a few things. They differ on how common is it that fruits will rot significantly, and how long does it take for fruits to rot significantly, and there are implications for Shimon separating Trumas and Maestris. And so the way to understand Rabbi Bar Chana and Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok, in order to understand them and their opinions, we also have to understand how they view this significant rotting and how long it takes and stuff like that. The Rabbi Bar Chana Sovar, Rabbi Bar Chana, who says, well, Rabbi Bar Chana had already said, right, that rotting significantly is not common, and therefore Shimon can separate Trumas, use them as Trumas and Maestris, knowing, right, assuming that they haven't rotted. And in the event that they did rot, Ruvain can sell them to Kohanim and Levim, well, to Kohanim. So the Rabbi Bar Chana Sovar Yosef Mitei Chasona Lo Shchiach. First of all, it's not common for the fruit to rot significantly, right? So where am I? So Yosef Mitei Chasona Lo Shchiach Midi Bechi Mishtekach Lekam Yehuda Avyo. Wait, what? Bechi Mishtekach. And in the event that they do rot significantly, it will take a long time. So first of all, it's not common that the fruits would rot significantly. And even if they do, it wouldn't happen overnight. It would take a long time. And if Shimon is going to make them trumas and maisers, well, by the time that they got to the point of significant rot, Shimon would have already set them as Trumas and Maestris. Mikame da'avu lehu, yosem ichdeis chesronon avilu. By the time they rotted significantly, Shimon would have already made them into Trumas and Maestris. Hilkach ki'avulu yosem ichdeis chesronon. Therefore, when they rot significantly, nizabninu l'kayanim bitmei truma. So just sell them to a Kohan, to a Kohen, and there's really nothing to be concerned about. Shimon can separate, use them for Trumas and Maestris because the chances of them rotting is slim, and they probably wouldn't have been sold, so he can separate Trumas and Maestris. Reuven, in the event that they did rot, they would have taken a long time to rot, and therefore, you know, by that time would have been Trumas and Maestris, and you just sell it to a Kohen, it's no problem. But according to Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok, it is a problem. Because Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok saw Yosef Michtei Chasonon Mishkach Shchiach Vichi Avlu Le'alterhu Davlu. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok's perspective on rotting fruits is the opposite. It's common. This is a common thing that fruits can rot at a significant rate. And not only that, when it happens quick. And therefore, and if we say that if these fruits rot, and this can happen quickly, and that you could just sell them to Kohanim, well, we have to be concerned that maybe very quickly they'll rot, Reuven will sell them, and then if Shimon makes them Trumas and Maisris, well, that would be a problem. Lo yada dezabne v'kachal tevalim. He won't know that they've already been sold and he's going to be eating Tevel. So therefore, for Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, the concern of Shimon eating Tevel because he thought that he was separating Trumas and Maisris, but they've already been sold, is a real thing. Therefore, Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak says, look, you can't sell these fruits because, you know, even if they're rotting significantly, that can happen quickly and it can happen often. And if you sell them, then you can run into trouble with Shimon separating Trumas and Maisris and ending up eating Tevel. Therefore, don't sell them. Rabbi Bar Chana says, look, it's not common for these fruits to rot. And when they do rot, it takes a long time for them to rot. By that time, Shimon would have already separated Trumas and Maisris. You can just, and at that point, you just sell them to a Kohen and there's no problems. But according to Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, it wouldn't work. Meisve, we have a kasha. Hamafkid peiris etzel chavero, if Shimon deposits fruits by Ruvain, v'erkivu, and they rotted. Yain ve'echmitz, or wine, and it became vinegar. Shemen ve'ivish, oil, and it went bad. Dvash ve'idvish, the honey went bad. Harry said, lo yigabayin divrei Meir. Meir says, don't touch them. V'chacham omrim, the chacham say, osa loyim takono, umochren, you can fix them. The Gemara is going to explain what, fix what? Umochren, and sell them. So Meir says, don't touch them. The chacham say, sell them. Umochren bebezin, you can sell them bebezin. Uchshu mochren, and when he sells them, mochren acherim, sell them to other people. Vein mochren asma, he shouldn't buy them himself because that people might ask questions. Why he's selling them to himself? You know what? Maybe there's some funny business going on. Kayotze bo, and similarly, kaboyit stoka. If you have somebody in charge of the of distributing charity, if he's got a bunch of money coins to distribute, but there's no poor people to distribute to, so portan la acherim. So he basically trades in the smaller amounts for larger amount, right? Meaning like he trades in the pennies for dollars. Because the pennies are going to, like, you know, they're going to start getting all rusty and stuff and no good. So therefore, he kind of consolidates. Vein portin la'atzman, but he shouldn't consolidate with himself because, again, people might be suspicious. Kabay tamchui, also when it comes to food, right, they would collect food to distribute to poor people if there were no poor people to distribute to. So bezman shein lo'imaniyim l'chalik mochun la'achem, so they sell to other people, v'mochun la'atzman, he shouldn't sell to himself. Katoni mias peres v'erkivu. So, but we mentioned at the beginning of the Brisa that when it comes to fruits that got spoiled, we see that there's a machlokas between Rav Meir and the Tanakhama. Rav Meir says don't touch them. Tanakhama says sell them. My love, afilu yosi michdei chesronon. Even if they are significantly spoiled, Rav Meir is still saying don't touch them. Lo bichdei chesronon. No, it's talking about when they're significantly. No, I'm sorry. It's talking about when they are sort of regularly, you know, spoiling at an expected rate. That's when Rav Meir says, don't touch them. What do you mean? But it says wine that turned to vinegar. Oil that got, you know, that turned, whatever oil turns into when it goes bad. Whatever, and same thing for honey. That sounds like it's pretty significant. Shiny honey, yeah, but it's different. These things are different because came to come. Look, when it comes to, you know, these things, you know, the oil that goes bad, once it's gone bad, it's gone bad. It's not getting any worse. It's bad, right? Whereas these other fruits, they can keep on getting worse and worse and worse. Okay, fine. So in these, So that makes it different than like the other case of fruits. Shemen vivish dvash vehidvish lemay chazu. Okay, fine. So the Chacham said to sell them. Who's going to buy these things that are spoiled? So shemen chazu the gudai, well, spoiled oil could be used for leather workers. Tavash the khtisha the gamle, and oil and turned honey can be used to put on like camel's sores. The Chacham say you fix with them and sell them in bezin. What are you fixing with these things? You're fixing the vessels that they're in, right? Because these things, after being, right, these, you know, oils and things, after they're ruined, they're also going to ruin the vessel that's storing them. So basically save the vessels by selling the contents. But Makam, if you get what's the machlokes between Rav Meir, says don't sell them, and Tanak and Chacham say do sell them. To my sover, left said Mu'ba Choshishu, left said Mu'ad Lo Choshishu. That the Rav Meir says, look, we're concerned for like significant. We're concerned about like significant for significant loss, but like you know, the loss of like the container, we're not so concerned about. Whereas the Chacham say, no, we are concerned even about smaller amounts of loss, like, you know, even the container, and therefore you should sell it. Okay, Chaver, I'm going to stop here. This was already like, I think like 35 minutes or so, just on the first Amud. Yeah, my brain is definitely Moshe. I also haven't done the rest yet. It's about to be Shabbos, so yeah. But okay, yeah, I mean, today's daf was like super cool, right? Shimon leaves fruits by Reuven. Machlokes Tanakam and Shimon Gamliel. Tanakam says, don't touch him. Shimon Gamliel says, you could sell them in Bezdin. We saw the machlokes between Rav Kahana and Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok about Rav Kahana says that it's because a person would prefer even one kav of his own stuff than nine kav of somebody else's stuff. That's why Tanakam says, don't touch it. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok says it's because maybe Shimon made it into Trumas and Maestris. And we have to be concerned about the implications of that. Mostly that if we sell it, then Shimon might think that he's separating Trumas and Maestros, but he actually isn't, and he's eating Tevel. There's the bell for Shabbos, so I really can't move forward even if I want to. And Rabbi Yochanan had said that the machlokas is davka when things are sort of deteriorating at an expected rate. But if they are deteriorating at a more significant rate, then everybody would agree to just sell them. All right, peace out.